Let's stand for the opening reading. Verse 44, chapter 19 of Luke, verse 44. And shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the day of thy visitation. I'd like for April to put up on the screen Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 37 that coincides with the scripture. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Notice what it says, behold you, your house is left unto you desolate. Your house is left unto you desolate. Father in heaven, add your blessings, please, I pray, to the reading of your word in Jesus' name. And all God's children say, amen. Of course, this is the time of Palm Sunday. They're celebrating the Lord's kingship until the Pharisees stopped it and rebuked them. And they said, you know, actually, they were saying, we got one king, that's Caesar. They rebuked the disciples for praising the Lord. And so he said to them, he said, your house is going to be left unto you desolate. Your house is going to be left unto you desolate. You see, Jesus in John 1, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the will of the flesh, but of God. Amen. People that were born of God. Jesus came to his own. He came to the natural branch. He came for the Jewish people to be their Savior. And the Jewish people rejected him. And because they rejected him, I mean, they stoned the prophets and killed them that was sent to them. And finally, the heir, they killed the heir. Because they rejected the Christ, the Messiah that God sent to them, amen, their house was left unto them desolate. Amen. It really was. They were just left desolate. And you might say, what does that mean? What does that mean? Their house was left unto them desolate. You see, this is probably about 40 BC, but about 30 to 40 years later, 70 AD, Titus came in and he besieged the city of Jerusalem. He built bulwarks all around it. He built around it to the point that, you know, they couldn't get no supplies coming in, and he starved them out. He just literally built big, I'm looking for a word, mounts all around it, blockades, and no groceries, no, I'm looking for a word here, no transportation could come in. They couldn't get no fruit, no vegetable, no food supply, no food chain, nothing could be brought in. They couldn't get out. He had them blockaded in. You keep this in mind. This was so terrible. They were starving. They were starving. I mean, that's how he treated them. Titus came in and he blocked them in and starved them day by day, week by week, month by month. He starved them until they was literally skin and bones. And can you imagine the death toll? It's been written by commentaries that it was so bad that you couldn't put it into words or writing. The miseries, the starvation was so bad you couldn't put it into words or put it into writings. And so it's a time when judgment has fell against God's people Israel. And the reason judgment fell against God's people Israel was because they have rejected the Messiah. And this is what he's telling them here in this passage of Scripture. He said, they're going to lay you even to the ground, your children within you, and not leave one stone upon another because you did not realize or know the day of your visitation. God sent Christ to them according to the Scripture, according to prophecy. He sent the Messiah to them, and in full knowledge, they rejected the Messiah. Just like in full knowledge today, people reject Christ. And so the end result was, yeah, Titus comes in, and he barricades the city. I mean, builds ramps all up around it. People can't get in. People can't get out. There's no transportation. And they literally, by the hour, by the day, they starve. Children are dying. Adults are dying. The death toll was into the million. Into the millions, yes. And so, it comes about that the ones that didn't starve out, they sold them into slavery. They sold them into slavery. And so, you know, this is the picture, this is the scene, and this is what Jesus is showing us here. It really went bad for them because they did not realize, they did not respect, they did not submit to their day of God's visitation. Titus came in, and he literally, they burned the city. They destroyed the temple. The temple's wealth could not be predicted or told. It was a magnificent structure. I mean, it was the heart, and it was everything that Israel wanted was that temple. But Titus came in, and Titus destroyed that temple. They tore it down and burned it with fire. I mean, they burned everything with fire. They plowed the city under. They laid it waste. They plowed the city under. And between 1 and 2 million people died in that siege. They did not submit. They did not accept their day of visitation. You know, a lot of times people don't realize. They don't realize the cost of rejecting Christ. They don't realize the cost, you know, not just their personal cost, but the cost of their family. You know, people that's rejected Christ and spurned his love, you know, their families, a lot of time, they don't get saved. And bad things happen. Next thing you know, it's a drug issue, or it's a immorality issue, or it's a poverty issue, or it's a behavior issue. I mean, a lot of issues come out from because of rejecting Christ as your Savior. So Jesus says again here in verse number 44, and he shall lay thee with the ground, and going to lay your children with the ground, and not leave one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. In the 19th chapter, verse number 42, Jesus wept, just like he did in the 37th verse of Matthew 23. Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Literally, he mourned. Literally, he bawled. He wept. He sighed. He bawled. He was broken. Tears streamed down his face because of their rejection. Amen. He was just broken over their rejection. Do you realize to this day, it breaks the heart of Christ when people spurn his love, when they reject him, when they say no to his so great a salvation. It breaks his heart, amen, because he knows the fallout effect of it, amen. I'm thinking, you know, about my text here. It talks about, you know, this word pekad. And this word pekad here, it means visitation. You know, I can remember when God visited me. I remember very vividly when God visited me. You know, I'm thinking just up on the hill several years back, a Baptist preacher come to my house, if I think of his name, John Dotson. He pastored a Baptist church up there on the hill. He came to our house, and I was living in sin, very sorry of it, living a defeated life, very sorry of it, paid a big penalty for it. But he came to my house and talked to me about Jesus. And, you know, I listened to him, but, you know, it really never got a hold of me. And it wasn't long, God sent Albert Shoemaker to my house. Albert Shoemaker, pastor of Plum Grove Church. He came to my house, sat right down in the living room and visited with Mary and I and the family and told me about Jesus and just pulled up my heartstrings and invited me to church. And, you know, I let that go. But here, God sent two ministries to me. And God had plans for me right then. Probably God had plans for me for probably, you know, I was born with plans. But, you know, he was trying to wake them plans up. He was trying to get me motivated, get me on the right path. And it didn't work at first. But, you know, there come a time when God visited me at the banks of Calumet River. There, after my dad left my house and told me that terrible truck wreck was going to happen. I mean, after my dad left the house and I had that terrible accident, laying there at the banks of Calumet River, not knowing where I was at. I was unconscious, just woke up there on the floor of the truck, laying by the door, just the truck all up on its side, and I could hear water running. I'm laying there listening to water running, and I can think, man, my dad just left the house. My dad just told me this is going to happen. And God was dealing with me. That was my day of visitation. That was God coming to me in a little stronger way. He first come to me. I heard Pastor Tony preach here, and maybe if Pastor can help me here a little bit, or one of the Sheila or somebody. He talked about how God comes to you in chastisement. He first came to you like a moth. He first comes to you like a moth, and a moth is soft. A moth is soft, and you know, it's just them inner dealings of God. They come and they just rest in your heart. You know, you know it's there, but it's not screaming at you, but it's talking to you in a real kind or soft way. He come to me like a moth when them preachers was coming. And, you know, when my dad came, you know, he come to me in a little more potency. I mean, my dad was real fervent about talking to me. And he come to me like the eagle. You know, the eagle scream at you. You know, by the time my dad talked to me, you know, like a dad talks to you. And, you know, I mean, everybody can connect the dots here. I mean, dad talked to me as my dad. Not my best friend, but my dad. And warned me and pleaded with me. So I seen that mule, most furious mule I ever seen. He said it had a saddle and no bridle. And he said its head was just a searching. And he said, the Lord showed me you. And he said, after the Lord showed me you, he said, I took the Bible and went to the pulpit and preached the Word of God. He said, something bad's going to happen, and it did. But then, you know, I think I'm talking about the Lord's dealings. Then the Lord, you know, if he can't get to you through the eagle's scream or his talents, you know, digging in on you, then he comes to you like a lion. And what that lion will do, that lion will rip you. That lion will tear you. I mean, that lion will really rough you up. I mean, he can get you down. When I was laying at the banks of Calumet River, the lion had come to tear me. I'm talking about the day of God's visitation. In this passage of Scripture, he came to his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, he gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believed on his name, which were born not of the will of man or the will of the flesh, but of God. But Israel rejected his love, rejected his messiahship, rejected his atoning blood. They said no to salvation, and their house was left to them desolate. Their beautiful temple was plowed under. Their children were starved along with them. And they were probably between 1 and 2 million died in the siege. Probably 100,000 Jewish people were sold into slavery. Do you remember what Pilate said? Pilate, when they brought Jesus before him, he said, I can't find no fault with this just man. I can't find no fault with him. And the crowd kept jeering and they kept hollering, crucify him, crucify him. He said he was God, crucify him. Well, they did. But they paid a big penalty. They said, let his blood be on us and let his blood be on our children. And I just give you the report of how his blood was upon their head, upon them and upon their children. This is cruel, but the rejection of Christ can be that severe in other cases. Maybe not that same way, that same case, but there's people paid a major penalty for rejecting Christ as their Savior. I remember some years back, I was a young preacher and I was really full of the Holy Spirit. I was a witness to everybody I talked to, and I remember I was preaching to this person and a group of people. I won't call their names, I'm on the Facebook. And I was really telling about Jesus with my whole heart. Just felt anointed to talk to him. And I was pretty strong about it. I wasn't always old and gray. I was pretty strong about it. That person left. It wasn't long. Had a wreck. Died a young man. Died a young man. I remember what his last words were, according to a gentleman that reported it. He said, I'm young and I'm going to have to die. Don't want to die. Don't want to die. I don't want to die either. I remember a young man come to my house. He said, preacher, would you preach my funeral? I said, yes, I'll preach your funeral. Be glad to. I looked at him sitting at the big table at home. I said, have you got that awful disease? He said, yeah, I got that awful disease. And I got to die. He said, I'm 40 years old, and I've got to die. He cried. Big tears kept washing down his face. I'm 40 years old and I got to die. I talked to him about Jesus. I led him in the sinner's prayer. Talked to him about other things. Talked to him about Jesus. Led him in the sinner's prayer. But Lord, I think in my heart, as a young man, if he could receive Christ as his Savior and got his morality on track, got his life on track. Amen. It wouldn't have had to be that way. When God visits you, there'll be a pecan. When he visits you, will it be to punish you or will it be to care for you? Will it be to chastise you or will it be to reward you? Amen. But we're going, you know, a lot of times, as I said this morning, we talk about the judgment that we're going to face in eternity. Yes, yes, yes. 1,000 times yes. We're going to the Bema seat as believers. We're going to answer for the deeds that's been done in the body as believers. Now, I'm not going to have to answer for the rejection of Christ, for my Salvation, it's a done deal. I believe I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I'm saved. I'm born again. I'm blood washed. Got my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, yes, yes. But I've got to answer for how I've behaved as a Christian. I've got to answer for how I've functioned as a Christian. Amen. And them that's rejected Christ, that's going to the great white throne, they're going to have to answer for the rejection of Christ. Yes, there's a judgment in the future, in eternity. John the Revelator said in the 20th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 11 through 15, he said, I saw a great white throne. He said, I saw that throne. It was great, and it was white. He said, and I saw him that sat on it. He called him, Daniel called him, the Ancient of Days. That's the Christ, that's the Messiah, the God-man. I saw him sitting on that great white throne, the Ancient of Days. And he said he had books in his hand. He said, and another book, which was the Lamb's Book of Life. And whoever's name was not written in that Lamb's Book of Life would be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. John the Revelator said, I saw in a vision while I was out there on the Isle of Patmos. He said the dead was come before him. The dead. Keep in mind, that's the dead. He said small and great. I mean, you might say little people with little lives. Little careers and big people with big names, with big titles, blue-blooded people, big-name people, all people that rejected Christ stands before the Lord, the Ancient of Days. And he said, I saw the books opened. The books is opened. And he said, then I saw another book. That was the Book of Life. But there's going to be at least three books opened in the main judgment. That is the judgment of the dead, the ones that rejected Christ. There's going to be the book of the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible opened. There's going to be a book of our life opened. And then there's going to be another book opened. And that's going to be the Lamb's Book of Life. And whoever's name is not recorded in that Lamb's Book of Life is going to be cast. There's no getting around it. You're going to be hurled into a lake of fire where you can never, never, ever, ever, ever get out of that lake of fire. Never. It's not possible to get out of it. That's why it's so important for us to have a youth department here. You might say, I'm young. Well, you know, the old timers used to say when you get about 12 years old, you're at the age of accountability. I know with some people it could vary, but that's kind of a age they set. Age of accountability. It is our responsibility to make sure to put good seed into the hearts of our children, to let them know, listen, you can't earn salvation. You can't buy salvation with money. You can't get it by hard work. If that's true, only the energetic and the efficient people would have it. It's a gift. I'd like to say salvation is a gift. You receive salvation when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's when you receive it. That's when you get saved. And I believe when you really get saved, Christ comes into your heart, you get born again, you get washed into blood, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you're percolating. You're percolating for the then and the now and all eternity. But we're going to have to answer for how we've behaved as Christians. Have we been moral? Have we been godly? Have we kept our language right? Amen. Have we been faithful? Have we been generous? Have we been courteous? Amen. What kind of a Christian have we been? Or have we been hard and cruel and unforgiving and just went around all the time with hurt feelings? No, no, no. Jesus said, there at the Bema seat, this is for Christians. We're going to have to answer for how we've lived, how we've functioned, how we've operated in our life. Give the Lord some hallelujah and applause. Hallelujah. I'm about to get warmed up. Pecod. Visitation. Visitation. God visited Abraham in the land of Ur of the Chaldees. Said, Abraham, I got a call in your life. I want you to go out into the land that I show you. And I want you to go look for a city whose builder and maker is God. Listen, Abram wasn't no pauper. He was a businessman. He was a rancher. He had flocks and he had herds. He had a big name. But he left everything behind, so to speak. Probably picked up what he could, what he had, took what flocks and herds he could take on the journey. His beautiful wife, Sarai. He wasn't told to take his dad, but he took the old man with him. He died before he got to the land of promise. He wasn't told to take his nephew Lot, but he took him. Kind of went bad for Lot, but he followed the call of God by faith, and he's the father of the faithful. It went good for Abraham, but it didn't go very good for Lot. It was a pecod for Abraham of care and blessing. Life went great for him. He became the father of the faithful, but for Lot, didn't go good. It didn't go good at all. It turned out in punishment because he led his family into that sin city, Sodom and Gomorrah. In the cave, he got involved with his two daughters, become an incestuous man, incestic. That's where Moab came from. That's where Ammon came from. Two nations that were immoral, without principle, and ungodly. Because that was the name of the two sons that came from that affair. What will it be when God visits you? Or how has it been when he visits you? You know, I think in Luke, just one more thing here. One more thing, and I'm gonna shut it down. In Luke, the parable of the pounds, Luke 19, the parable of the pounds. He gave to one 10 pounds. He took and traded with the same, and that pound gained 10 pounds. And that was a well done. I mean, he really got involved and he really made good with that pound. He said, well done. He gave another man a pound. He worked with it and gained 5 pounds. He said, man, you've really done good. And give him a well done, a good reward. But he gave a man 1 pound. And he said, I knowed you was an austere man. He said, I just laid it up in a napkin. Didn't think that much of it, just laid it up in a napkin. And he said, take the unprofitable servant and cast him into outer darkness where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Let me tell you something. That pecod for the two men that worked with the pound, it was good. But for the man that dug a hole or laid it up in a napkin or buried it, according to Matthew 25 and Luke 19, it was punishment. It went bad. I love you, Lord. I love your people, not just in this house, but I love all my online friends. And if you're not saved, I want to tell you, Jesus is just a prayer away.